Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. How about you?
Great. Thanks a lot.
Bill News Talk 1620.
Thanks. You were in Fort Hood yesterday. I'd like to get your thoughts there.
Sure. Well, it was we had a very moving ceremony and to honor three soldiers who were killed last week. Being in the military is already a dangerous business, and you just don't think that these folks are going to come home to the safety of our homes and then get killed right there in their own workplace. It's really a tragedy. One of these men had a daughter who lives in Waco, who is one of my constituents.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, again, second time in 4 years that it happens at the same location.
Exactly. So. It's a tragedy. So our thoughts and prayers ought to be with all these families who lost folks, and also with those that were injured, and for the families or for the first responders that helped to protect more.
Certainly. Let's talk about what's going to be going on in Congress this week. What's your week look like?
This has been a busy week for budget issues. The House Budget Committee budget will be on the floor today. And then also we've had some other proposed amendments to the budget that have been voted on this week. And one of those amendments was a proposal to substitute the House budget with the president's budget. Okay. And this year he got two votes. So the last 2 years he's gotten zero, I believe.
Okay.
And so his budget's getting more traction.
Well, percentage-wise, that's a tremendous increase,
yeah,
as a matter
exactly.
of fact.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, there are 400 and some against it. So.
I understand. Well, okay, then with that in mind, the GAO out with a report this week saying that the government has got a lot of redundancy. I think that's not a surprise. They mentioned the Pentagon, but, of course, others as well. And I think that makes folks outside the Beltway grind their teeth a little bit. We discussed the duplications that they have. I'm glad the GAO is there to give us this report, but at the end of the day, what comes out of this GAO report?
Well, let me say that there are more than just Americans that grind their teeth over this. Members of Congress like me grind our teeth over this and get exceptionally frustrated, particularly in light of the fact that we have proposed numerous times to get rid of duplicative programs, to cut costs, to impose efficiencies, and none of this activity ever gets taken up by the Senate. And even if it was passed by the Senate, you'd have zero acceptance by the administration. So, yeah, it's very frustrating. I mean, there are 40-plus programs that deal with job training, and they waste billions of dollars when really, if you look at some of the things that are happening right in our own district, the private sector is getting together with educational institutions and building the right kind of jobs training programs for today's economy. We need to focus on those solutions rather than these big government solutions.
Bill Flores joining us this morning from D.C. Okay, the Senate passed out their version of the extension of unemployment benefits. Again, I think the speaker is not liking this very much. Is there any way that something can come up to get these unemployment benefits extended?
We have made our case very clear to the Senate. If you want to pass unemployment benefits, then you need to include things to talk about. The most important thing to deal with this issue, and that's employment. It's jobs and economic growth. And the Senate continues to ignore that. And so as soon as the Senate leadership is willing to sit down with us and talk about things that we can do, real-world solutions or Main Street solutions, as I call them, to deal with unemployment, then everybody will be better off. I mean, A, America will be better off, and B, those on unemployment will be better off, and we'll have a more vibrant economy. That's what we need to do. And that's really what I find fascinating. The folks at the Senate are always focused on minimum wage, and they're focused on unemployment compensation. If we would focus on creating an economy where the minimum wage is relevant because everybody's getting paid more than that because of high labor demand, we'd have this thing fixed and we would have less of a need for unemployment. So yeah. One of these days they may sit down and talk to us, although I'm not very optimistic.
Well, business people, they don't have a seat at the table sometimes.
Well, unfortunately we don't, and that's what's really frustrating because, I've signed hundreds of thousands of paychecks over my career on the front side, and I've kind of got some ideas on how to fix this.
Most folks probably saw, but in case they didn't, stories in the media yesterday having to do with Medicare payments and the data that was released after a federal judge said those payments could be made public. 100 doctors received $610 million between them, and There was one guy who's an ophthalmologist in Florida, got over $20 million. Again, this sounds like a system that needs a little administration.
Well, the Medicare system is broken, and if you know, Medicaid is broken as well. And so there are a lot of people that were against the release of this data. I actually think more data is better. Transparency is good. Sunlight is a great disinfectant. But unfortunately, the way the data was released, it doesn't talk about the entire details behind each payment.
Mm-hmm.
With respect to ophthalmologists, in many cases, these folks have to use very expensive drugs to treat their patients. And so the payment to the ophthalmologist, for instance, not only covers that person's service to the patient, but it also includes the cost of the drug.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you were somehow able to partition those two pieces out, you'd find that, you know, a big check is being, the doctor gets a big payment, but then he turns around and writes a large check to a pharmaceutical company for the drug. And so his or her net pay is actually less than what the top line number shows. So, I agree we need to have the data out there, but I think we need to do a better job of seeing what lies underneath.
Yeah, that's an interesting take on that because, obviously the headline is the $21 million.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, one of the good things about this is, it gets people looking at where the fraud is. And, we see, for instance, you see a cobble of doctors down in the valley of Texas that overtreat their patients and get abuse the system. And we need to flush those things out, and this lets the public see that.
And while we're talking about this, let's touch on Medicaid for just a minute, because obviously states have the option to either take this Medicaid expansion or not, and Texas is one of many states not doing so. But from a Washington perspective, what do you see Texas' future now with Medicaid, and how can so many uninsured Texans have some sort of a safety net in the future?
Well, Governor Perry, I think, summed it up very accurately when he said, with respect to Medicaid, you can't take one-third more people, passengers, and put them on the ship and think you're going to have a better outcome at the end of the day. And that's where Medicaid is. So the expansion is not the way to deal with this. The states that signed up for it think that they're getting a good deal, and they are for 2 or 3 years, but once the federal government begins to reduce the cost-sharing amount that the federal taxpayers are paying, these states are going to be crying foul, and they know this is coming. And so what we need to do is something along the lines of what we put in the House budget that we're going to pass on the floor this morning, and that is a Medicaid block grant, where you do you give a block grant to a state and say, we're going to give you, let's say, 80 or 90% of what the federal government used to pay you before, and now you go out and find the best way to treat your population in the state and give them better care. And we've had 30 governors come to us in the House budget and say, these are things we could do, and we promise you we can cover more people and give them better care at lower cost than the current Medicaid, the current fee-for-service arrangement that we have today. And that's the direction we need to go if we really want to fix Medicaid.
Yeah, it seems that's getting some traction in Texas if they just give us a chance to administer the money rather than them stand over us.
Right. Jeb Bush was, we had a kind of a town hall with him on Sunday morning at the Bush Library, and he talked about two pilot programs that he did in Florida in two individual cities and talked about how the outcomes were much, much better than the current fee-for-service program that the federal government administers. And those are the types of things we ought to be doing.
Some common sense stuff. Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Great talking to you, Scott. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country, pray especially for our military men and women that protect us because, they sometimes when they walk out the door, they don't come home.
Certainly.
And also our first responders.
Thanks for the time today.